Chapter 11. Sini's throat closed, and she took a step back from the excisioner, her shoulder brushing a drooping branch of the tree. She dared to glance behind her, but the small boat and its oblivious passengers had sailed too far to hear her if she screamed. She couldn't see their lantern anymore.
"Curious,"
Saraj said, folding his long arms and taking a step toward her. Once. Twice.
"Usually, a kicked animal fears its abuser, cowers from him, avoids him. But I have this strange,"
he waved a hand in the air,
"inkling that you've sought me out."
"Inkling, correct?
I believe I'm using the word correctly."
"Yes.
What a strange kitten you are, Kagath. Unless you have another purpose."
He paused, looking her up and down. His gaze felt like slime on Sienny's skin, but from what Sienny could see in the blinking lamplight, there was no lust in it. No, he looked at her as if she were a piece of furniture, an end table or chair, something tossed on the street, and he couldn't decide if it was worth salvaging.
"No," he said. "You're not dressed like a harlot?"
"Of course I'm not," Sienny spat, her anger at the assumption giving her just enough fuel to speak. Still, she took another step back, her eyes searching Saraj's belt. Lyra had kept glass vials of blood secured at her waist for spells, but there didn't appear to be any on Saraj, unless they were under his shirt. Then again, an excisioner wouldn't need blood to destroy her. Just one touch would do. Sienny's free hand moved to her necklace. She swallowed.
"Why are you here, Saraj? Why not flee when you had the chance? I know about your prison break."
Saraj laughed.
"I'm famous, it seems. If you must know, kitten, I have unfinished business to attend to. Things to collect. You are not my son."
"Huh?" she murmured under her breath, barely moving her lips.
"My son,"
Saraj repeated, relaxing his stance. He swirled an index finger around.
"Orbits, rotations. My doings don't revolve around you. See?"
Sienny gave herself a few seconds before answering, her fingers playing across her necklace.
"No, they revolve around Grath," she said, clearing her throat once to prevent a tremor in her voice. "He seemed confident about that, but he's not here."
Saraj frowned.
"No,"
he agreed, but Sienny detected no remorse in the word, no regret, no loyalty. He took another step forward. Sienny drew her pistol and pointed it at him. Saraj grinned, his teeth not white enough to reflect the lamplight. He tilted his head to one side, staring at Sienny, making her feel uncomfortable. Slipping a hand into his pocket, he began to chant words in a language no countryman knew, the language of the dark. She recognized this spell, its lilt and rhythm. A healing spell, not a spell meant to injure her. Not yet. She let Saraj have his words and took the chance to whisper her own, hand on her necklace, hoping the darkness hid her lips.
"Is this about the rest of the litter?"
Saraj asked, his chant finished. He held the spell in the hand embedded in his pocket, ready to use it should see any fire. Did he think she didn't know?
"Your parivar. The mom and pop and other kittens."
Sini's grip on her pistol tightened, her palm sweating. She kept it leveled at Saraj's chest. Saraj pulled his hand free. A dark drop of blood dripped down from his thumb, and the skin of it glimmered gold. The healing spell. Well, Sienny doubted it could cure a bullet to the head. She adjusted her aim for Saraj's forehead.
"Litter. Kittens," Sienny repeated. "This is all just a game for you, isn't it? You didn't care about Lyra, and I don't think you cared about Grath."
"A game!"
Saraj exclaimed, hand still aglow.
"Oh, but they were poor players.
he said, advancing with a long stride.
And your litter mates make boring pieces. A favor for him before, but they're so dull, kitten.
Sienny's hand shifted on her necklace, skipping over the vial of oil, bag of sand, and starlight marked in 1744. Her words were so quiet, she may have only thought them. She couldn't let Saraj know her secret. Grath's secret. But even if he learned it, he couldn't share it if he were dead.
I need money to get by, just like any Dali, he said, moving forward.
Sienny moved back.
Got to collect. But that's not a game, is it? That's boring. But you're here. Now, you've come to play, to show me what's inside you.
I've come to put you down, Sienny growled. Saraj laughed and clapped his hands, though the motion didn't disturb the glowing spell that awaited him on his right fingers.
All a game, Saraj said, rooting his feet, stiffening.
His grin grew lopsided, almost into a snarl.
And now, kitten is on the board. I still need a heart, kitten. I suppose yours will do.
Cold sweat chilled Sienny from crown to knee. Saraj jerked forward. Sienny flinched and fired. The blast echoed between canal walls and off Simon's brewery, surely loud enough to alert someone. Sienny couldn't see where she had hit Saraj until he lifted his glowing hand to his collar. The bullet had pierced just under it on the right. He coughed, wheezed, but the orange light of his spell quickly seeped into the wound and closed it up. He pulled his hand away seconds later and dropped the bullet onto the pavement.
Checkmate, Saraj said.
Wrong game, friend, Sienny countered, lowering her pistol. I wasn't firing for the bullet. No, she'd fired for the spark.
Flare!
She cried, and the tiny spark she'd pulled from the pistol spit and grew, building a fire in her left palm, giving her enough light to see Saraj's wide eyes.
Combust!
She called, and she flung her left hand forward, sending a hailstorm of fire raining down on Saraj. With her eyes adjusted to the dark and her target so close, the fire's brightness seared her eyes, stealing her sight for a moment. Sienny staggered back, blinking away spots. Smoke assailed her nostrils. Coughing, Sienny backed up and croaked an
"Arise!"
command, beckoning a spark back to her hand, preparing to finish off the excisioner. But as the hailstorm cleared, leaving scattered weeds and a board of the dock burning, Sienny's adjusting eyes couldn't pinpoint Saraj in the darkness. She whirled around once, twice, and commanded her little flame,
"Flare!"
The fire grew in her palm, casting topaz light over the docks. Empty. Creaking. Familiar shivers crept up her arms and back. She couldn't have incinerated the man. Where had he gone? Jumped into the river? Her eyes focused on the black depths of the canal, the shivers growing ever colder. Had he teleported? Where was he? Watching her? Sienny ran. She ran hard and fast, her self-made wind snuffing out the flames still licking her fingers. She ran down lit streets and around sharp corners until she heard the piano music still streaming from the inn. She grabbed the door handle and wrenched it open, dodging inside. The door slammed closed behind her. A few patrons, only a dozen or so lingered in the foyer, glanced at her, but the music radiating from the corner of the room had apparently drowned out her arrival. Sienny pressed her back against the door and slunk down to the floor, shrinking from the windows, breathing hard. She closed her eyes and beat the back of her head against the door's wood.
On the board now. Does that mean I've put myself in his path?
Smelt to hell! I showed him pyre magic. If Grath ever confided in him, Saraj knows what I can do. A man like him would kill for that information. Stupid. Stupid! Realizing she still held her pistol, Sienny stashed it in her bag before she alarmed anyone. She clasped her folded songbird and pulled it free, pinching its narrow body in her fingers. She worried that by tracking Saraj down, she may have endangered Emery. Would the Excisioner go after him? After her family? For use as bait or persuasion? Or would he head straight for her? She'd likely burned him badly. How easily could he heal himself? Could he come for her tonight? Fumbling with her limbs, Siani found her feet and hurried across the room as the piano man began a new tune. She approached a vested man behind a small bar and asked,
"Please, is the owner awake?"
The man eyed her.
"I'm he. What's wrong, lass?"
"Do you have a telegraph I could use? It's urgent."
Sweat trickled down her back.
"Got rid of it,"
he said, leaning his elbows on the bar.
"Telephones are the new trend."
He gestured with a tilt of his head to the upright, black lacquered telephone at the back of the bar.
"It uses an operator."
The man nodded.
"Go ahead and try it. Will you need a room?"
Siani didn't answer, but seized the phone and, with evident clumsiness, managed to connect to the local police.
"An Excisioner named Saraj Prendi is in Reading," she said into the telephone's mouthpiece. "He's dangerous. Seen by the docks not 15 minutes ago. Please tell the magician's criminal affairs."
She hung up without leaving her name. After staying the night acutely awake in the inn lobby in Reading, Siani used her return train ticket early in the morning, hoping to avoid the notice of watching eyes. She bribed a buggy driver to take her to Magician Bailey's with some pre-made folded spells, ones that could sell in market for a decent price. With any luck, Saraj was holed up in Reading, licking his wounds. Siani managed to doze in the buggy, even dreamed that her fire spell had riled Saraj enough to scare him from England for good. But when the rough road leading to the Bailey residence woke her, she knew the idea to be only a dream. If anything, she had given Saraj a motive for revenge. She wondered again if Grath had confided in Saraj about his desire to break his bond. If so, Saraj would know exactly what Siani had done. No folder could throw fire like that. She dragged her heavy feet toward the mansion. Now there was a risk that the secret to bond-breaking would fall into the hands of an Excisioner. Still, the pyre spell had been her only way to escape. It had been that or her life. But if it came down to it, she'd die before revealing Grath's secrets to accessing all materials' magics. She wouldn't let Saraj, or anyone else, use the knowledge for ill. "But I can't keep everything secret," she thought as she approached the front door. "I have to tell Emery the truth. Saraj will think I'm at the cottage. I can't risk Emery's life." She reached for the knob, but the door swung open before her fingers made contact. Bennett stood on the other side, looking about as tired as she felt, his hair in disarray, his shirt half tucked.
"Siani,"
he said, half scolding and half relieved.
"Thank the Lord you made it back."
Siani stiffened.
"Has Magician Bailey?"
Bennett shook his head.
"He hasn't so much as mentioned your name. He's in his study doing something."
The fellow apprentice stood aside to let Siani in.
"So, where were you?"
Delilah's face flashed through Siani's mind.
"A cousin of mine got into a bad lot," she lied.
"Gambling." He wasn't specific, but he couldn't collect enough money, and he wound up in a cell, even though he's only 17. Apparently, he sent a letter to Magician Thane's home asking for help. He was too embarrassed to ask his father, and Magician Thane sent it to me in a bird.
Bennett rubbed the back of his neck. "That's awful. How much was it?"
"Not too much," Siani said, pasting on a smile.
"He was 2 pounds short."
Bennett frowned.
"I'm sure Magician Bailey could reimburse you if you explained—"
"Oh no,"
Siani said, dropping her voice. She glanced down the hall to ensure the folder was nowhere in sight.
"He's only told me. John, that is. My cousin. He made me promise not to breathe a word of it to anyone.
His reputation, you see. He wants to be a journalist, and they can get picked apart. He needs a clean slate. I shouldn't have even told you.
But to have a woman go out in the middle of the night.
I'm a magician, Cianney said with a wry grin. Almost, at least. I can get out of tight spots, even if it's just with paper. Bennett seemed to relax a bit.
I suppose that's true. But I would have gone with you.
I appreciate it.
She yawned.
I guess I need a bit of a rest, though. It was a long trip, once you add everything up.
Can I bring you breakfast?
I'm all right, she assured him.
She offered a last smile before heading down the hall and up the two flights of stairs to her bedroom, where she'd left the window open. She searched the sill, the brick outside, and the rest of her room for a message from Emery, but found none. Her ribs squeezed in. Since arriving at Magician Bailey's home, Emery had sent her a message every day, even if just a brief note. Why hadn't he last night? Even a vengeful Excisioner couldn't have stopped yesterday evening's letter. She rubbed sleep from her eyes and pinched phosphorus and glass on her necklace before heading into the lavatory next door. Now a gaffer, Cianney traced the boundaries of the mirror there and sought out the mirror in the lavatory of Emery's home, which she had previously named Cottage One. She used one spell to spy into the room, ensuring its vacancy, and a second spell to initiate a transport. The glass rippled, a liquid portal, and Cianney passed through.